Most of the people who wrote those have been in heaven for a couple of centuries. But hallelujah, God still uses those songs, and it's amazing. A lot of depth and power and teaching and just life, which is what it's all about. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your incredible love, for the gift of your Son. We thank you that sin is dealt with and death is put away. We thank you for this day of triumph, of absolute victory over death and sin and hell and Satan and everything that kept us locked away and in misery. And you came and you loved us and you rescued us and you gave your Son for us. So we want to praise you now. We lift up your name. You're the great one, the majestic one, the holy one. You're the one seated on the throne. You're the Ancient of Days. You are all glorious. And we worship you this morning. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Just a little bit of recapping. Jesus had been ready and preparing himself for the cross. Remember, he'd set out for Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he was determined to do what his Father had told him to do. And he'd actually told his disciples a number of times, "Listen, fellas," he said, "it won't be too long, and that the Son of Man will be handed over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him, and they will flog him, and he will die at their hands, but he will rise again on the third day." And then afterwards, it's usually written something like this, "But the disciples did not understand any of it. It was hidden from them." It even says in Luke, they had no idea what he was talking about. And he told them regularly. How amazing. This is too much for them to grasp that this could possibly happen, what Jesus is describing. And it did happen exactly like that. Now, I want you to ponder for a moment also Gethsemane, the garden. And there, an amazing event happened in the garden. There, Jesus wrestled with the cup. Remember how he described as a cup? And in that, he's wrestling. And the cup wasn't just the physical suffering, though that's part of it. It's the knowledge that the one who's been perfect and never, ever done anything in any way remotely wrong was to take on all ugliness and sin of the whole world upon himself and bear it for us. And then he was to be separated from his Father as a result of that, one who had never known separation from his Father. He was one with him. And that cup was too much to consider. And he wrestled with that. And finally he said, "But not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but what your will be done." And Jesus marched, in a sense, out of that garden of Gethsemane and told his disciples for the third time to wake up again. If you remember that. And then, and that's an amazing thing too. At his greatest hour of need, they just kept on falling asleep. But it's going to get worse. We're going to see what they actually start doing. And he marches out to be betrayed. He stands up and he marches straight to one of his close friends and he betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. He moves on and he has a trial. He has the denial of Peter while that's going on. The three times he denied him before the cock crowed, and as we saw the video clip. And then he's falsely accused. He's marched out and has to carry his cross up to Golgotha or Calvary. And he gets up there, he's crucified. And Jesus then comes to the point where I want to pick up that in John in a minute. Just before we do, Jesus hangs on the cross, there's two others next to him, aren't there? There's two others there, and they're watching on, and they're taunting, and how they can even have the energy to speak as they're hanging with massive nails through their hands and wrists and nailed into the feet as well. But they did manage to say some things and taunt Jesus. But one had been watching. And another one was watching down there, a Roman centurion. They're both watching. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And that already would have started to impact some of those around. Impacted the centurion. And one of the Gospels, it says the centurion and others. So it's not just the centurion who was impacted, though one just says the centurion. Other Gospels tell us it was many who were impacted by these statements and what they saw. And then this other criminal is hearing all this, the forgiveness and and then he says, Lord, remember me. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And the centurion's hearing this promise of salvation to the criminal. And then the blackness that came over the land, remember that for 3 hours? The blackness of separation, of sin-bearing, physically revealed in the earth, in the physical realm. Then Jesus' cry of desolation, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then there's an earthquake happened. Matthew tells us about that. Matthew tells us rocks are splitting. We don't often hear this, but it's in the Gospels. It's what's happened. You read it in Matthew. And the centurion, he's watching all this, and he's seeing it all. And he finally, and Jesus finally says, it is finished. He didn't just say it quietly. And he's just astounded. And he says, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this was the Son of God. And that centurion, I'm sure, is in heaven too, as a result of his confession right there. What an amazing thing happened. I'm now going to pick it up just in the book of John. So we're not going to go all over the place in the different Gospels today. As we did on Friday, we're going to look at John. And already Rita has read out